Welcome to season 3 of Overcoming Child Sexual Abuse. In this season, we're going to focus on connection. Connection to ourselves, to our higher power, to those in our lives, to our loved ones, and to our pain that remains often stuck, but that is waiting for us to connect with it in order to release it, so we can keep healing, growing, and stepping into our most peaceful, meaningful, and happy lives that we're each here to live. Today, we're joined by Deanna Hansen. Deanna is the founder of Block Therapy and Fluid Isometrics and is also a certified athletic therapist. For over 20 years, Deanna has helped thousands of people around the world heal from physical and emotional trauma through her programs, including her 90-day trauma relief program. I only found out about this recently. I tried it and it's been mind-blowing for me, so I had to share it with you. Block therapy and fluid isometrics are approaches to softening and relieving the connective tissue of fascia throughout our bodies, where pain and trauma have been stored, sometimes for decades. The fascial system connects the body from head to toe. And in block therapy, we lie on a small, therapeutically designed and crafted block of wood, which sounds a little uncomfortable, but it's amazingly relaxing and releasing. And we do that for a minimum of 3 minutes in various positions across the body. With gravity and body weight and diaphragmatic breathing, the block sinks into the root of stuck tissue and trauma, releasing layers of restrictions that show up as physical and emotional health issues in our bodies and minds every day. I've been blocking now for only about 6 weeks, and it has been one of the most powerful and shifting practices I have ever felt to release the illness and tension and stress that I still feel in my physical and my mental being from my childhood of sexual abuse. And many of us feel those same feelings every day. That's why I wanted to share this with you and have Deanna as a guest, so you can decide if this feels right for you to try as another practice on your journey of healing and growth. So welcome, Deanna.
Thank you so much.
I am so glad for you to be joining this podcast. And it's kind of funny because, as we were saying before, I see you at least once a day, especially before I go to bed at night, because Laura and I do your block therapy programs every night.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled to be here and to be with you before you go to bed every night.
Exactly. There you go. And it's also really kind of strange to me how I came to know of your work because, as you know, this podcast was all about trying to find new ways of not only understanding our trauma and how it shows up in our lives today, but finding ways that we can release that trauma, because knowing and doing are two totally different things. And I can be really good, as many of us can be, at knowing, but then when things just stay with us and we see the same reactions and we feel the same anxiety and stress in our bodies and it just keeps showing up, and maybe we're even experiencing chronic pain that just keeps showing up, and it doesn't matter what we do medically, it just stays with us. And so when I came across your work, and I was actually introduced to your work by, ironically, a medical practitioner, Dr. Patrick Fratellone is a very integrative medical practitioner, and he always has new and different ways of tapping into our bodies to become healthy. And he said to me, you've got to try block therapy. And I must say, when I went online and looked at block therapy, and I saw you with this cedar block that's about, what, 8 inches by 4 inches? You would know the exact about that. By like,
I should know exactly.
And I saw it and I was like, you have got to be kidding. Like, that looks like the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know why Patrick referred this to me. But trusting Patrick, or at least curious, I kept the receipt with the box when I got it because I thought I would pretty much be sending it back. That was my level of skepticism of it. But it has become my best friend. It has had a mind-blowing impact on how I feel emotionally and physically in ways that I didn't even know I was stuck so much, and especially how stuff was stuck in my body, in different parts of my body so much. So you must feel so fulfilled when you see the amazing impact that your work has on so many people, especially who are experiencing so many emotional and physical health symptoms, and you see how your work transforms that.
It really is a blessing. It's my favorite part of everything. There's been, of course, you know, developing and growing a business from nothing comes with amazing challenges. And then inevitably somebody reaches out and says how life-changing this was. And that's always what keeps me going, because this is what it's about. I just really have an intense passion to teach people how to self-care.
Yeah, and it really is self-care, which is the great thing about it. You always emphasize that this is a way to work your pain in a way that works for you in your time. You're in total control of this process, which I think makes it very freeing, because it is about self-care and we can move through this as it feels right for us.
Yeah, and that's really what it is about. It's about teaching the individual how to learn the language of the cell, really. And so there's so many different sensations, experiences that we can feel. And there's also, I think, a lot of misinterpretation on what those sensations mean. So for example, pain, you know, most people try to avoid pain. We mask it, we posturally avoid it. We don't really want to feel it. But if we really looked at pain from the perspective that it's really just the cell giving you a signal that it needs some love and attention, then we can approach pain from a very different perspective. And that's really one of the basic underlying foundations of block therapy. It's teaching people to become pain seekers. And we're not causing pain to the body. We're connecting you to the pain that's deeper than what you're consciously aware of, so that we can bring it to the surface. We can deal with whatever that pain is, and then we can release it and let it go. And it's very empowering to also know that you can do that with pain, because really it's just like the baby crying. We don't want to ignore the crying baby. Of course we wouldn't. We'd be, you know, holding it, giving the baby whatever it needs, but the body, the cells are the same. They're doing this phenomenal job to help us thrive. And yet if we're not really paying attention to their needs, we're really only surviving instead of thriving.
Yeah. And let's break this down a little bit, because it does require some understanding of what happens in our body. And then we'll go back to being pain seekers and leaning into all of that. So your work is based upon the facial system. And I didn't really understand the connection, so to speak. And when I looked into online the fascia and the fascial system, the Cleveland Clinic had this description. It says, fascia is a sheath of stringy connective tissue that surrounds every part of your body. It provides support to your muscles, tendons, ligaments, tissues, organs, nerves, joints, and bones. And when your fascia is healthy, it's flexible and stretches with you. When your fascia tightens up, it can restrict movement and cause painful health conditions. And Deanna, you say, when you begin to dive into the fascia, the first thing you will likely encounter is disruption. This is the point to release the patterns that you've fallen into and to create a body with space and intention. You say this comes with the release of pain and fear, and this will be felt as it surfaces. And you go on to say the fascia is the glue to everything within. It holds not only pain, but emotion and memory. So can you talk to us more about your story and what led you to the fascial system and block therapy as essential parts of our physical and emotional healing?
Yeah, so back in my 20s, I had just become a certified athletic therapist here in Canada and was trained in how to have a fit body. Now, having said that, I was applying everything I was trained in, and my body was anything but fit. I was 50 pounds overweight, struggling with anxiety, depression, chronic pain, and life for me just was absolutely not fun. I did have a very good practice as an athletic therapist, and I always focused on deep tissue work. So even though my practice was strong and healthy, my personal body wasn't. So by the age of 30, I made some changes to my life. And as a result of those changes, I started having these severe anxiety attacks. And this one anxiety attack was really the seed of everything to come. In that moment, I actually thought I was going to die because my breath was frozen. I couldn't find my breath. So intuitively, I dove my hand into my abdomen. And in that moment, I encountered pain and I let out a gasp. And the pain, though, brought me out of my anxiety. It brought me back to the ground. And I was like, okay, I'm going to live another day. And so I just continued to explore in that part of my body, which I really avoided because that's where I carried the majority of my weight. So I kind of hated that area. I always avoided it. Now I'm diving in with my hands. And as I'm just intuitively exploring, I'm encountering what feels like scar tissue marbled throughout, even though I hadn't had any injury or surgery in that area. Suddenly I have these aha moments. No wonder when I'm coming home from a 5-mile run and I'm dripping wet with sweat, my belly would still feel cold. So now I started recognizing why there was nothing happening to this area. It was essentially frozen. So for about 30 to 45 minutes, the first evening, I just intuitively was exploring. I felt very calm, woke up the next day still feeling calm. And I was excited to get back home that evening and to dive back in again. And after the second evening of just doing this self-work, when I stood up, I felt taller. And I went and I looked at myself in the mirror and I literally started to cry because my belly was flatter than it had looked in years. And I mean, I used to do 400 sit-ups a day, aerobics, Tai Bo. I mean, you name it, I was doing the work, the weights, the dieting, all of that stuff. And within 2 days of just this little work, really, there was these positive changes. So this became what I was doing every day when I would come home. And it started primarily in the belly. And within 2 weeks, my chronic low back pain was going away. So I thought, I'm going to try this approach on my patients. And I started doing the same work on them. And I was having these phenomenal results. And then I started attracting other therapists to learn the technique. So that was 22 years ago. And that was the seed of everything that really came to be right now. But what I have learned through the process is how to truly understand the fascia system in a very different way. And the way that I see the fascia, it's literally the cell membrane of every single cell interconnected to every other cell. So it really is the communication system between all cells in the body. It creates stability as well as mobility. And the real focus needs to be on understanding how to properly diaphragmatically breathe. Because if we're not breathing, then we aren't keeping our fluids heated enough to reach all of the cells in the body. So ultimately, it is all about keeping that internal space. We have trillions of cells, and each cell has a position that it should be in. But because we're under the influence of gravity over time, combined with being dominant on one side of the body, we become asymmetrical. So we literally wind down over time. And as the fascia is here to create that stability and support for us, what happens is the fascia will grip and adhere to anything around it all the way to the bone to try to stop us from tipping over. That's the problem, though, because these grips, they are adhesions, and they basically block blood and oxygen flow to and from cells. And that, in my opinion, is really the source of all suffering in the body, whether it's emotional, mental, or physical.
And you even mention in Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, that Eckhart mentions that we're living in the moment only when we breathe diaphragmatically. And that's because our brain waves are in a relaxed state in that way of breathing. And you highlight that this is in contrast to how most of us breathe, which is from our upper chest, which actually creates a stressful frequency that's rooted in fear, especially from holding our breath that's stuck in a trauma response from our past, no matter how many decades ago that might have been. And Eckhart highlights that this brain pattern keeps us focused on the past and the future, and that that breathing pattern literally feeds fear lifelong. And you highlight pain, fear, and stress cause you to reactively hold the breath. It's a protective mechanism that the body has learned, and it was a way of shielding our vulnerable selves from negativity. So talk more to us about that breath to help us to heal and to release those adhesions, as you say, and move into that positive optimism and curiosity versus the fear and the pessimism that comes from that contracted holding breath space.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, so the first thing we do really need to understand is that pain, fear, and stress create this reaction. So, I mean, just imagine any time when you've been shocked, or when you're in pain, or when you're feeling like you need to guard those vulnerable insides, we literally, you know, pull into ourselves, we coil forward. If there was a trauma 20, 30, 40 years ago that you witnessed, and it wasn't released fully, that trauma gets stuck and stored in the breathing pattern. If you look at a deer, for example, who survives an attack, after the attack, they shake because they're moving that energy out of the body, where we as humans, we tend to go into freeze mode. So when we go into that freeze mode, now it's almost like we've created a frozen diaphragm similar to a frozen shoulder. And the body is designed to survive. So we're still going to breathe, but then those secondary muscles, the muscles of the upper chest, take over. Now, the challenge with that, breathing through the muscles of the upper chest, is that at the base of the lungs is where the majority of the oxygen receptor sites reside. So if we're not pulling the air deeply enough into the lungs, then we're just missing all of the opportunity for this incredible oxygen absorption. Also, we're also missing the opportunity to fully detoxify the body. In 2014, they did a study shared in the medical news that 84% of weight loss comes through proper exhalation, because that's that amazing ability to detoxify and to keep our systems regulated and flowing smoothly. So if we've been stuck in this trauma breath or pain breath, then we are literally breathing in a very shallow way. So we're depleting our body of oxygen, and we're also accumulating toxins. And that's what the majority of people are dealing with today, is this sticky, gluey, dirty body, because we haven't been moving the waste out efficiently. And so with block therapy, and this is the important piece, simply teaching you to breathe diaphragmatically when we're already in a locked position isn't going to create that much of a change, because we need to free the diaphragm up. And the fascia will glue and adhere to bone with a force up to 2,000 pounds per square inch. It's a magnetic seal. So that's an incredible force to even comprehend. Just like gravity, how we don't really feel it. You know, we see it eventually as we get older, but we don't really feel it because it's constant. So is this internal pressure and force inside the body. So we don't even really recognize what that's like. But what we do with block therapy is we move in through the layers of fascia all the way to the bone, and we create a release of that magnetic seal so that we can then activate more of the diaphragm. And then we teach you how to use it properly, which increases oxygenation in the body. And then we become lighter. We start heating the body more effectively. So that's the beginning process, is really going in through that rib cage and core area to teach proper diaphragmatic breathing. And then you yourself become a more efficient healer within your own body. And then through the process of blocking, we work the entire body, as well as we also combine proper postural training so that we don't continue to fall into those negative patterns. And we really ultimately want to pull those cells back to their correct position so that every cell is where it's supposed to be. And if that's the case, there's optimal space. So there's ease of allowing nutrients inside the cell, as well as ease of removing the waste and byproducts of functioning away from the cell. So we keep everything properly fed and clean. And if that's the situation, then there's really no stress in the body.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to highlight too, that this is not just pie in the sky stuff. It's really founded in neuroscience and all that we're learning about biology and the way the brain and the body works together. So it's very widely accepted. And in the world-renowned and groundbreaking book, The Body Keeps the Score, Bessel van der Kolk, a psychiatrist, best-selling author, talks about, and this is a quote, ways to integrate advances in brain science, attachment research, and body awareness into treatments that can free trauma survivors from the tyranny of the past. These new paths, he goes on to say, to recovery activate the brain's natural neuroplasticity to rewire disturbed functioning and rebuild step by step the ability to know what you know and feel what you feel. And I think that's so powerful because we lose the feeling. We disassociate, many of us, we know that we disassociate, especially when we've experienced childhood sexual abuse. Our bodies become an unsafe place that we don't necessarily want to be in. And when I started doing your program, the first session I did online of the block therapy blew my mind, and it kind of blew out my body as well. And these were simple practices using this small block that you've created. And you took us through a series of movements that had the block placed on the forearm, on the legs, in the stomach, in the pelvis. And I was not anticipating. I wasn't even really conscious or really looking for an emotional connection. I was just kind of eager to kind of jump in and experience kind of the release, some release in my physical body. But what happened is as soon as I started blocking, for example, my arms, and you instruct us to kind of, you know, be aware of the feelings that's bringing to you. And I went right back to feeling constrained in my arms by my father. Wasn't looking for that little kind of flashback, but it was so powerful because as you kept instructing just to lean into that pain, feel it, breathe through it, and feel it dissolve, I felt the lightening and almost the dissolving of that feeling from my father, from like an emotional space. And I didn't even know I held that pain or trauma or memory in my forearms. Blew me away. And then moments after, you did some work on the calves, and I had the same experience, and that was of not being able to run. That was like, it hit me. I wasn't even looking for these memory associations, but it just highlighted to me that that was a memory that was stuck in my calves and causing, you know, contraction and cramping there. And then I did the pelvis. Okay, the pelvis, again, you can imagine, and all of us who have been sexually abused as children, that's a very sensitive and delicate space. And I, again, knew that that area would hold some tension. But what I didn't and what I wasn't anticipating is that when I put pressure on my pelvis with the block, that sent pain shooting through my intestinal system. And you call that referred pain. And so, again, I leaned into it. And I still am working through this because that pain still comes up when I use the block. I've been doing it for probably 6 weeks now through my digestive system. And so just to dive into this a bit further for everyone listening, you highlight, as we just said, that there's pain sites in our body that have over time hardened and have started to cause or have caused for many years physical pain, sometimes chronic pain. And so to experience this through a block of wood that really puts pressure into these pain spots has just been mind-blowing. So can you talk to us more about that whole process?
Yeah, and it really is about reintegration. So as soon as we have that experience in life where we reactively hold the breath, if we don't release that in the moment, now that diaphragm muscle is working from that place of constriction and feeding us going forward. So for example, if I'm always protecting my heart, that left side of my body, and I, you know, let's say, for example, I have an abusive father. Let's just say I didn't, but let's just say I did. And so in that reaction, whenever that person would come into the room, there would be this constant contraction in the body, and it winds up over time and it becomes denser. So now this muscle that is designed to work like a pump in the body, to move up and down, to feed every cell in the body, only part of it is working. So now we are literally starving a lot of the cells in the body. And because of that collapse and the imbalance that that will create, we start tipping off balance. Now the fascia, again, it's going to grip to bone to create stability. So then the whole body, all of the cells impacted by that breathing pattern, are going to go through an aging from a different time and space than if that breath was working fully and completely. And the emotion, as well as the pain, they're all tied together, because it's the emotion of the trauma that impacts the breath. And then going forward, the body physically is impacted by the way that we're breathing. And then that's how these adhesions develop throughout. And then we get impacted as we move through time with more things, because now we're dealing with an incorrect foundation. So as soon as we start tipping off balance, the foundation has to shift. So your fascia pattern, it starts to shift and grip throughout the entire body, and the calves and the feet, when we're talking about cause sites, they're going to be the most significant cause sites throughout the entire body, because they're the furthest from the engine. And the thing to understand about fascia, it really comes down to tissue temperature. As long as the tissue temperature throughout the entire body is uniform, there's optimal flow. Wherever there's adhesions, there's a lack of flow. So now the tissue becomes colder. And just like the difference between water and ice, if it's colder, it's harder, and there's suddenly no flow. So we want to take this frozen fascia and we want to start to melt it so that we gain this flow again, because without the flow, we have cells not being properly fed and clean. So they're going to have physical symptoms as a result of that. And if whenever I'm looking at a foundation, there will always be one side of the body that's more like a flat tire. So you can see how one leg will pull away from midline. And as we start to tip over, the opposite side anchors with tension, because it's also trying to keep us upright. So now we have this internal war happening within the body. So from those points moving forward, now we have instability. Now we start moving differently. Now we start seeing our bodies from a different perspective, often from a place of fear, because that's going to not only affect the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons, all of that asymmetry and collapse is also going to affect the organs, how they function, the heart, all the tubes in the body that send the blood and the oxygen and everything. Everything gets twisted and manipulated in the fascia as we start tipping off balance. So then the brain as well, it's also getting twisted and manipulated, because the blood flow to and from the brain won't be optimal. So then as our head starts getting pulled out of alignment, now the brain is getting stuck to a side of the skull, and then that part of that brain isn't going to be working. So it's quite fascinating, because it's really simple in concept, but it really covers absolutely everything that we as humans go through, whether we're talking about spiritual traumas, emotional, mental, physical traumas. They all basically create adhesions, and they create a lack of breath. And that's really what it comes down to. We need to have our cells where they're supposed to be positioned so that they can receive and send away without stress or strain. And if, again, every cell is positioned perfectly and there's optimal space, there's really no issues in the body. It's when those cells get taken away from their home, they become homesick. And first they could be like, they're taken a little bit away as they migrate, and they might scream with a little bit of pain. If they're ignored, they're going to get a little louder, but eventually they're going to be so far from home that they're going to be shut off. And that's where that disconnection really comes from. We actually get shut off from parts of our body because we've pulled away the energy so far, because it's just too hard to take. However, that's what creates real problems as we get older. So to bring that integration back and to bring those cells back home and to give them a process for which they can release that trauma, even if it was 50, 60 years ago. The body, it doesn't matter. It's like I always talk about if you have an ice cube in the freezer for one day or 20 years, if you take it out of the freezer, they're both going to melt. So it doesn't matter how old the trauma is. It just needs to have heat and life sent to those tissues, to that space, so that we can release and we can integrate and we can move forward with a different mindset and perspective.
Right. Yeah. And it's amazing because I experienced all of those things when I was just going through the different sessions that you have. And one of the things that you highlight too, as we're applying the block to different parts of our body, is you also highlight the exhaling of toxins out of the body. And I have certainly felt that physically as well as emotionally. And so I was saying before how I was experiencing some emotional flashbacks almost, but not in a negative, fearful way, just in an awareness way, which was very different, because we don't want to put ourselves necessarily back in places where we're reliving trauma. But to become aware of that and just be able to observe it and feel it in our body, breathe through it, and then just feel it dissolve and feel your body shift into a softer space has been incredibly powerful, just experiencing that dissolving, that softening. And I know for me and many of us who feel that sense of underlying stress or hypervigilance or hyper alertness, it really released a lot of that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's really just about giving the cells attention. And when we have something that happens to us that's negative, we want to push it away. We don't want to have to face it. So those cells, again, they become these forgotten parts of us. And when we can really send love into those spaces that were traumatized, it doesn't have to bring back the memory or the experience of the trauma. It's a release of the emotion. And it's such a non-judgmental way of approaching the body, because again, the body knows the score. We don't have to bring it all back. We just have to let it go. And then when we let it go and things soften, as soon as tissue starts to soften, you know that it's getting fed again with life, with God, with whatever you want to call it, energy. It's really all the same thing. Again, as Eckhart Tolle said, when we're breathing diaphragmatically, we're living in the moment, and God lives in the moment. If we're breathing through the muscles of the upper chest, living in a different brain frequency, we're connected to thoughts of past and future, which aren't real. And that's where fear lives. And there's a pain-fear cycle. This is very real. So when we feel pain that we don't understand, it breeds fear. Both pain and fear cause us to reactively hold the breath. So the more pain, the more fear, the less we breathe. It really does come back down to that whole lack of oxygen. Oxygen is life. I mean, we die in 5 minutes if we're deprived of oxygen. And our cells are like little mini brains. They all need life in order to be able to do their job and to help us thrive. So if we're not giving the cells what they need, they shut down and they do become disconnected from us. So all they need is that love, that little bit of attention that we can give them. And that's through that process of the block. And as you move in through the layers with that block, and the reason that it's made of wood is because bone and wood are similar in density. And we need to be able to get to those roots right at the bone. So when we connect that way, we're literally giving our cells, these deep, deep cells, a hug. And they feel it, and they know, they understand that, wow, what you're doing right now is providing attention, energy, life into this space that's been blocked. And they respond like we as humans do with love. We respond to a hug. You know, when we're sad and scared, somebody gives you a hug and it can change how you feel. It connects you to the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's what this process does as well. We strongly connect to the parasympathetic nervous system so that we can go into that rest and digest. That's when we heal, is when we're in rest and digest mode, when we're in go, go, go sympathetic state, we're action. And there needs to be a balance of both of that. We don't want to always just be in rest mode, but if we're always in go mode, then we're exhausted. And most people right today are suffering from adrenal fatigue. And that is impacting, again, how you view life. If everything is a rush, where's the joy? Where's the connection? And I think our lives have really been conditioned to just be so fast forward, compete, accomplish. Like everything is so goal-oriented that we've missed the point of self-care, self-love, and restoration, which is absolutely crucial for us to be able to thrive and to be goal-oriented. But we've become out of balance. So this really helps to bring balance back.
Yeah. And when you mention rest and digest, that's what Laura and I are experiencing, among other kind of just rejuvenating feelings. And we, as I said, do this every night almost before we go to bed, and we sleep so much better. And you talk about digestion, again, those GI issues that I mentioned, you know, when I block and on the pelvis area, I feel the referred pain shooting through my digestive system. And I've been dealing with IBS and GI issues, but they have even been softening since I started this, which again, blows me away, because, you know, we try so many different things. And again, there's no silver bullet and there's no one thing fits all. But it certainly has been transformational for our sleep, our feeling of rest. And it gets back to that self-care of taking that time out for ourselves and giving ourselves that opportunity to feel something different, to experience something different, and give ourselves the chance to be in that positive, rested, growth place.
And it comes down to understanding the value of inflammation. There's a lot of discussion that inflammation is the root of our suffering. I actually see inflammation as the result of adhesion, and inflammation is the healing agent to heal everything. I mean, we sprain an ankle, the body sends blood flow. So if we don't know how to use that inflammation to our advantage, the body's going to continue to send more blood, because it's like, if that area is not repaired, the body's saying, well, wait a minute, there's still more repairing agents that need to happen. But we need to understand how to support the body through the inflammatory process so we can remove any debris. Let's say you have an injury, or think of a car accident. As soon as there's a car crash, there's debris all over the place. So if we have an accident or an injury, there's also debris within the body. And we need to remove that in order to create the space for the blood to send everything that it needs to repair whatever's been damaged. And we don't need to know all the specifics. The body knows what it needs, but we need to support the flow. So what's really amazing is one of our community members, she's in New York, she does thermography. And she has a before and after photo, 2 months. The first thermographic image showed a whole ton of that red and white in the thermography in the abdominal area, around the diaphragm and the breast tissue. And that's indicating inflammation. Then that client for 2 months was blocking. And then she did another thermography and it was gone. And she said she's never seen anything so impactful. So it just shows that this is all about moving the stagnancy out of the body so that we can become free and clear to experience every moment in life as a unique moment, instead of getting caught in the cycles of repetitive thinking and drama and behaviors that haven't served us, because it's all tied together. How our brain functions, how our body flows, it all comes together. So if we're stagnant in body, we're stagnant in mind. We want to be always clean and clear and focused on the moment, which we can only do through that proper diaphragmatic breath.
Right. And let's talk about becoming pain seekers, which is essential and related to all of what you just said, because we have to be aware of where pain is showing up in our bodies and then be daring enough to lean into that and to work through that and know that it will dissolve and it will resolve, even though it might be delicate to work through. And that's really one of the things at the core of your work, that we need to be pain seekers so that we can go about the work of releasing it. And you've even created a 90-day block therapy program specifically on trauma relief, because releasing that trauma is what is going to allow us to really then feel emotionally healed as well as released in our physical bodies, rather than constantly reliving in that state of stress and constraint. And you say we can only realize our potential and greatness through pushing the boundaries. And you go on to say that this can be a scary moment, especially the first time it happens, when you have been locked in a dark room for years. To suddenly see the sun can be painful to the eyes. This is what it's like for the cells that are receiving the connection to your life force after a long time in hibernation. It can take a moment to regroup and assimilate into being awake and active. So can you talk to us a little about how we become comfortable and good at being pain seekers and leaning into that pain so we can work through it and dissolve it?
Yes. And the first thing to understand is, because this is a self-care program, you're in control of the whole thing. There's nobody doing this to you. You're choosing to do this. And when we're lying on this tool, we can start on a bed. We can do it on a floor. We can even do it in a chair. So there's lots of different ways you can approach the body. But most importantly, we teach you that your breath is your guide. As long as you're breathing in a relaxed way, you're feeding and healing your cells. If something hurts so much that it takes that relaxed breath away, then we tell you this is too much for you. So right from the beginning, there's nobody forcing. And this is absolutely not about force. It's about persuasion. We stay in each position for a minimum of 3 minutes. There's nothing fast and aggressive. It's all very conscious, all very slow moving. And what's amazing to understand, and this is the key, the pressure fibers in the body are larger than the pain fibers. So once we get into position and we start to breathe, we start connecting those pressure fibers. So suddenly that pain feels different. And most people experience it as a good pain. That's how they'll share what the experience is. And then as soon as you're in there for a little bit, the pain starts to change. And then we teach you, okay, so now let's go seek more out. But again, it's with your conscious awareness and your control. So we teach you how to twist into the block very slowly as you search for those pain spots. And then we'll have you stay for a minimum of 3 breaths until that new level of pain starts to dissipate. And then we teach you to continue to go deeper, deeper, deeper. So you're basically deep diving through your fascia. It's like if you're a boat on the ocean, we're not riding on the surface. We're going deep through the layers because we want to get to those dark spaces and we want to bring pressure and light into those dark spaces. And very quickly, we learn that pain is actually just a sensation. It's just a language that the cell gives us. And when we pull it up and we exhale it out of the body, there's always gifts that come with that, whether it's a deeper breath, whether it's greater mobility, whether it's a change in your size and shape, or an improvement in how your skin looks, or suddenly you feel calmer or you're sleeping better, because everything in the body comes down to that flow. And it's the adhesions that are really what we're looking for with pain, because adhesions are what blocks blood and oxygen flow to cells. So that's why the cells are screaming. So we want to go find those adhesions. We don't want them in the body. They're the problem. So by becoming a pain seeker, you have a roadmap how to find those dark spaces that have been manipulating us without even our conscious awareness, and pump energy and love and light into those spaces. So then they can let go of whatever it was that they were holding on to, because the body knows that it's not serving us any longer. It's just all about letting go.
And when you say that, it's amazing, because that's what I've experienced and Laura's experienced. And I know the community that you have around block therapy, you have a Facebook community, and you read the comments of people. And this is something that everyone experiences. And it's amazing because it highlights that, you know, we each have experienced trauma differently, and we each have experienced different trauma. But the way that trauma gets locked in the body and shows up is incredibly similar across so many of us. And so when you take us through these practices that might target the psoas, for example, or the neck or the head or the abs or the shoulders or the lower back, you know, the legs, wherever it is, when you put that pressure and lean into the block in those different areas, it's amazing how it does generate almost an automatic release as you breathe into it. And after a session of half an hour even, you can feel the difference in how your body moves, in your posture, in your breath, which is for me why it's been so mind-blowing, because, you know, it kind of, whilst there's no magic bullet, sometimes it's nice to get some more immediate satisfaction from the work we do. And that's what I appreciate about your work, is that it has immediate felt benefit mentally and physically, but then day by day it builds resilience and strength. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, which again is why I wanted to share this with the listeners, because it's been such a powerful way of getting immediate relief, but again building to something stronger.
And also just even from the perspective of fitness, the way that we approach the body from the perspective of fitness is to try to force it. It's, you know, like let's run until exhaustion, let's lift heavy weights, like whatever it is, it's very forceful, it's very aggressive, and the body responds to force with force. The body responds to persuasion with receptivity, with softness. And when we're blocking, generally speaking, we're lying down. And there's something very beautiful about being able to be in that space and still be able to exercise, because it is a therapy exercise and meditation all built into one practice. And we can take it to different levels as well in the practice, where you can simply be there lying on it and you're going to be getting the melting and you're going to be getting all these different things. But I also have a lot of classes where we integrate a lot of isometric resistance while you're on the block, so that we can actively pull the cells and really create that integration. Theoretically speaking, if cells are always where they are, how long should we really live? Because pain, aging, disease, and ultimately death come from compression over time under the influence of gravity. So what we're doing is we're decompressing the fascia. We're putting the space back into the body that time has taken away. So we're going in reverse mode. So we're the first group of people going through this real process of figuring out how to release those adhesions that lock us into an aging pattern that we understand today is just normal. I mean, most people understand we have this age for the majority of people. And, you know, depending on life experiences, some don't live as long, some might live longer. But if we didn't have that, how long would we live and what would the quality of life be? And this is what our blockers are experiencing. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. And it's funny you should say that, because I have never in my life experienced and had to visit as many doctors, specialists. I've never had as many x-rays, and I've never had so much physical therapy in the last 15 months than in my entire life. And it started like 15 months ago, I fractured my back. And then I got over that with 7 months of PT. And then I did something else. And then on 4th of July this year, I managed to take a fall doing a community games day as part of 4th of July. And I managed to dislocate a herniated disc, tear my two hamstrings, and fall and break a rib, all in the one exercise within about 10 minutes. And this was like 2 weeks after Laura and I had come back from extreme trail bike riding down the mountains of Park City. And we bike every morning, we paddleboard, and we're active and we're out there. And this was just like a random, gentle, casual community games day. And I just twisted the wrong way, and then I tried to run and I fell, and it was the smallest thing. And so you talk about aging, and it is, we do come to accept at some point in time that our bodies are becoming weaker. And then my reflection on that also was, at the same time, if we're not working to release this trauma that is still stuck in our bodies from decades ago, then we're setting ourselves up for a fall, so to speak, because not only are we experiencing the aging process, but we're experiencing that we're experiencing that built up trauma in our bodies that's not being able to be released, that we're not releasing in any way. And so that just keeps building up and building up. So it's a twofold, it's, you know, double impact.
It really is, because we're magnetic beings. So if we have anger stored throughout, we're going to be attracting more scenarios to feel more anger, because it's all about magnetics. If we're feeling guilt or shame or sadness or whatever those emotions are, there's a frequency to these energies. And if that's what our bodies are emanating, that's what we're going to be pulling in. So it's actually Greg Braden, in his book, The Science of Compassion, Walking Between the Worlds, he shares that the frequency of love looks like a snake with, it's a fast frequency. The frequency of fear is a slower frequency. The frequency of our DNA equals the frequency of love. So if you superimpose those frequencies, they connect. And then the codons in the DNA get all turned on. So when we send loving thoughts, whether it's about ourselves, whether it's about the world, whether it's about somebody else, we're actually awakening the codons in the DNA. However, if we're living in that fear space, we're actually only touching on some of those codons. So the DNA starts to shut down. And then that creates a shift in the magnetics. And then that's, again, what we're going to be attracting, because we are these beautiful magnetic beings. But to understand that is really powerful and important, because we can change it. And we don't have to keep going forward from the place that we are today. We can choose a different path simply by changing the breath, as well as changing your mindset. And that's a little bit of a job. The very first thing I ever did after I read the Celestine Prophecy, when I learned what you think you become, I recognized, well, no wonder I have a belly that I hate, because I've been hating my belly. Like, you know, it's just that. And as soon as I forced myself, and it was quite funny, because I remember this very distinctly, I took my clothes off and I stood in front of the mirror and I told myself I was beautiful and I was alone. And I actually blushed, because I knew I was lying. But I'm like, okay, wow, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing this every day. And then it got easier. And absolutely, things started to change. So it's really incredible when we change that frequency of how we look at ourselves, how we look at everything else. And that's where the whole forgiveness around trauma comes in as well. And it doesn't mean you have to forgive or forget. It just means we want to change the perspective so that we can heal ourselves.
Right. And that, you know, definition of, you know, what is forgiveness? It's really about foregoing, letting go of those negative feelings that have a negative impact on us today. Really just foregoing those, letting them go, releasing them, which, again, this process is all about. And you highlight that compassion and love, and there's that essential aspect of self-care and self-love and self-compassion. But as we move on through our decades of life, having that support from others, having like-minded, you know, finding our peeps, finding our tribe is so important. And you talk about the importance of community as part of the healing process. And you say, when you have fears and blocks to your deepest desires, hearing others that have moved through the darkness gives you the anchor you need to feel safe and supported. The encouragement, the stories, the wins, and even sharing the losses makes you feel connected in a way that allows you to hold it all together. And you go on to say, as you are undoing the pattern that you fell into, sometimes the scattering of energy and emotion can feel overwhelming. And you simply need to know that you are on the right path and that you are not alone. And Deanna, I think that was a beautiful reflection. And it is so important to open ourselves and be vulnerable sometimes and find those communities. And you've done that again through your block therapy community. And I can see through reading the posts and participating in some of that, that it really is enormous support, especially for adults who have been holding this for decades.
It's lovely because right now we just yesterday we're starting week 6 of our 90-day trauma program, which is in our site Lifelong, but we're actually actively going through this together as a community. So every Monday at the beginning of each week, we have a live support call. And it's probably one of my most favorite parts of my week because we have all these people on the call, and every week I'll write a blog setting the intention, sharing something about myself. And the amount of people that just share how grateful that they are that I've opened up that vulnerable space in myself, it allows them to do the same. And that's the beauty of this community support. We are all so traumatized and flawed and imperfect. And to hear that from each and every one of us, it makes us all realize that we don't have to be so judging. There's no value in feeling like we're not good enough. We just need to really recognize that in order to feel great within, we just need to love ourselves, love each other, and just be there for each other. And it's such a lovely, beautiful process that everybody's going through, and the connections people are making between, for example, the sprained ankle from when they were a kid to how now they realize they don't stand up for themselves. These interconnections of behaviors from physical or emotional traumas are fascinating to see. And people are just outwardly sharing everything to give others the connections to possibly be made. And it's just beautiful. And I think it's partly because when you do connect into your own body and you start to hear what your cells are saying, and you start to really understand the language of your cell, then it's easy to give that same time and attention, compassion to other people. When we're feeling disconnected in our own body, it's very hard to feel connected in an external relationship because everything in the universe is a mirror of itself. So when we're fully connected and integrated, then that changes how we relate to individuals as well.
Yeah. And you just prompted me. That's why I did that big. Yeah. Because I'm listening again to, at the moment, Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. And one of the fantastic, many fantastic things about what Brené takes us through in that book is giving us a language to identify the emotions that we're feeling. What is happy? What is sad? What is elated? What is grief? What is disappointment? What is distress? What is distraught? And just having a language to put to that gives an aha. It's like, oh, yeah, that's actually what I'm feeling. And that's where it is in my body. And by naming it, it almost gives us a greater power to say, aha, now I know you, now I see you, and now I'm going to gently and gratefully remove you or replace you or nurture you into some other positive way of helping me versus harming me at this point in my life.
Yeah, pain has always been there for the purpose of that cell giving us information, but we've looked at it like it's a negative thing. And it's simply not. It's simply just the cell saying, hey, mom or dad, you're asking me to do all of these phenomenal things for you, yet I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or I'm thirsty, whatever it is, or I've been ignored. I need a little bit of love. And if we can look at the cell like we would look at a child, the child that we love, that we adore, that we want to nurture, and we treat the cell the same way, the cells treat us through our ability to thrive instead of just survive. Because right now, most people are simply surviving because their cells aren't healthy. Their cells aren't happy because we haven't been trained how to make them happy or healthy. So it's not anybody's fault. We've been following along with what we think is right, but medicating the pain away is basically ignoring the child, and the cell needs the love.
Right. And it's so essential to remind ourselves all the time that you know, the pain that is locked in our body in different places at one time came from protective layers that enabled us to survive trauma that we were going through. And as you spoke about before, you know, that animals know how to shake off trauma. Bessel van der Kolk talks about this in The Body Holds the Score. He talks about the fact that when an animal is prey and is attacked, there's the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response. And once that attack is over, assuming the animal survives, they'll get up, you'll see them physically shake it out of their bodies, and then they'll, you know, run off and potentially prepare for the same thing to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, because that's their environment. And the same thing has happened to us, except we haven't shaken it out. And so it stayed with us. And it was from the survival mode, the protective, nurturing mode of, I need to help you survive. But now that that has become hardwired after so many years, this is the gentle process of, again, saying thank you very much and being aware of it now and allowing it to transform now in a way that, as we said, helps us. And just to wrap up, Deanna, let's talk about that immense opportunity we have to choose our healing path. And you highlight your body is the house for your soul. And when it is contracted and frozen, you don't have direct access to your higher self. You become limited in your ability to see your highest expression as you live within the diminished space created from the breath being strangled. You go on to say, as you dive into your fascia with the intention of creating space, the old paradigm releases so you can move forward on a journey of self-discovery. And you encourage everyone. You say, the best part is it all starts with you. Choosing to become your best version, to release the mindset that no longer serves you, to allow yourself to become disrupted, and to choose a new alignment is all it takes to move forward with continual hope and expression of your deeper truths and wisdom. It is all within you. You simply need to connect to the cells that have been in hibernation and bring light and love to them. The rest will fall into place. So can you, as we wrap up, just talk to us more about, again, that opportunity for us to transform our body and the constraints into something that really does enable us to be all we're here to be?
Going back to Greg Braden's work, I absolutely love his work. In one of his books, he talks about how on the surface membrane of every cell is encoded the message, God lies within. So when we start to connect to these cells and we really start to learn their language and listen to them, we are connecting to what God brought us here to do. And Eckhart Tolle mentions that the brain thrives on the ego thrives on negativity. So when our heart and our brain aren't connected, we're driven toward negativity. When we connect the brain and the heart and the diaphragmatic breath, we're driven toward love. And so as we start to melt these adhesions and we connect more deeply to the cells throughout our entire body, we have that greater connection to our purpose, what we're here to do, what we're here for. And it's, we all have, I believe, creative gifts and intentional things to share to improve the state of the world, to increase our vibration and to emit that to everybody around us. And that comes with this practice.
And to help everyone step into that, I know you have very generously provided the ability for people to have a free sampler program, introducing them to these practices and exercises. And I know we'll be including that on the podcast website, but can you just share a little bit about what that would look like?
Yeah, there's 9 classes and we have you using a rolled up towel, which we teach you how to do because the rolled up towel in itself, it's quite profound how amazing it is at the fascia decompression. So through these 9 classes, we start again in that ribcage core. We teach you how to properly breathe. Right away, you're going to start to feel changes just from the towel alone. And we work through the entire body. And we also share with you postural foundation building so that you can release and integrate. And we've had incredible, incredible testimonials from the sampler program alone. This will give people the feeling, an idea of what block therapy is about so that they can decide on the other side of that if they want to continue.
Yeah. And you can do some of those exercises for days, right? You don't have to just rush through.
No.
You can really just feel
forever.
Something that, right, works for you and be like, oh gosh, I really need to work on that spot and just keep breathing through it and let it dissolve in its own time and spend, you know, days working on the same spot and then move to the next and then move to the next again, which is what I love about your program because it really does put the choice in all of our hands and allow us to work through things in a way that's right for each of us.
And you have it forever. And that's the nice thing because we're not staying on the surface. Each time you release adhesions, we go deeper to another level. So you're never working the same spot. You're working different layers within a specific area.
Yeah. And I love that. Deanna, thank you so much for sharing this with us, for being our guest, and just for all the amazing work that you've done. I know this has been, 20, 30 years in the making for you and the journey.
Yeah.
22
yeah,
years.
So, a long time.
Yeah. So thanks for hanging in there so we can all benefit from it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise. You take care. To receive notifications of the podcast, subscribe or follow the podcast today and visit overcomingchildsexualabuse.com for more about this and upcoming podcasts. Remember, to get help for anything you're going through, reach out to a qualified professional. You can search the internet, call 24/7 hotlines, including the National Child Abuse Hotline, or speak to your doctor for resources. In case of a mental health emergency, please don't hesitate to call 911.